Okay, so today's title is Opportunities Abound. I thought it was interesting too, because I don't know if Steve set this up, but he talked about all these opportunities coming next year, if you missed them this year. And the whole time I'm thinking, opportunities abound. Here's some opportunities. The verses are Galatians 6, chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. And before we get into that, I just want to, whenever you go somewhere, have you guys ran into a place where you go there and it's like, oh my goodness, it's very rare. The rare opportunities here, whether that was like a Black Friday sale or a gun show, a flea market, outlet mall, whatever it may have been, where you're like, I just got to get this stuff. This is too good of an opportunity to pass up. So I wanted to liken the opportunities that God prepares for us beforehand. That's what the word says. The Bible tells us that he prepared these good things for us to do beforehand. And these are, when we do these things, they are eternal. They are imperishable. Where the things that we buy at a flea market or at a Black Friday sale, those are perishable. Those are passing away. All that's going to burn up. So I want to make sure, because we can get excited. Sometimes I think we could get more excited for the temporal things in this world than for the opportunities that God is providing us to choose to do the eternal investments. Okay. But we have a limited time to do that. I think I've told you about that book Mark Cahill wrote, The One Thing You Can't Do in Heaven, and that is witness to lost people. Once we're glorified, are we making mistakes? Are we deciding to walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh? No, we're glorified. So we have a limited amount of time while we're here to choose to do these things, to choose to crucify the desires of the flesh daily, and to choose to walk in the Spirit for eternal rewards. Remember, God is rooting for us to choose the better rewards, the eternal ones. He's warning us throughout his scriptures to not compromise the eternal rewards for the temporal ones. Okay, but before we get into those verses, we're going to talk about last week. Share each other's burdens. Oh, real quick, I am not the pastor of the church. Rick has had surgery and he's healing. I know we have some visitors here too. I just want to make sure everybody understands. This is like my third week in a row of giving the message because Rick is still healing up. So hopefully you're not sick of me yet. Thank you, Dale. Okay, so share each other's burdens. That was our message last week. And we were talking about walking in the Spirit. Remember, we talked about in Galatians, well, in all the books of the Bible, there were the chapter and verse breakdowns, but those were added at a later date. So sometimes the verses can go into one another, and the chapter verse breakdown can make us in our mind go, oh, that's the end of that. Now here's the beginning of this. That's not how it was written. Okay? So we talked about walking in the Spirit. We live in the Spirit, so therefore we should walk in the Spirit. We have an eternal destiny with the Lord, but we can quench the Spirit and not walk like that. We can look out of place. We're not walking according to our true self, who we are in Jesus. So don't quench the Spirit through carnal thinking and living. We also talked about as born-again believers, we are not of this world. We should be looking toward our eternal home in the heavenly kingdom, and that's where our treasure should be and our heart should be. Should be, again, going back to these investments we have. Are we too invested in this world so we're not really looking toward our eternal destiny? Sharing in each other's burdens or bearing each other's burdens. We were talking about how you actually want to, like Jesus did, we don't kick a man while they're down. Oh, I repent. I'm sorry. I had a lapse in judgment. Kick, kick, kick. We don't do that. We help them. We help them. And we don't help them minimally to make them learn their lesson. We help them like Jesus helped us. When I came to the Lord, he didn't go, let me talk about those. Let me teach you about a few things you did before I accept you, Jason. We don't want to do that either. And remember, this restoration that we did, we talked about a fence. Like, we're like a good, strong fence that has a lapse in judgment. We're damaged, and we need some restoration. And the way we restore one another in Christ is gently. mildly, patiently, not abrasively, not angry and impatiently. I don't have time for this. I don't have time for this. I got stuff to do. I have stuff I got to do. I'm just going to rush through this and do it quick, and hopefully you're good to go. That is not what we're supposed to do. And remember, these people were, they were trying to walk in the faith. These are not people who are walking in darkness calling themselves a believer. We're talking about people who are genuinely trying to follow the Lord, and they mess up. They have a lapse in judgment, which means it should be followed with honesty, transparency, repentance. They're humbled. We also discussed avoiding prideful thinking when we do help others, that we don't want to go into something thinking we're stronger than we are, and then we fall into the same temptation they did. We don't want to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. We don't want to think we can handle more than we should. We talked about sometimes you may have to get another brother or sister who's stronger in that area to help them while you pray for that whole situation. Maybe you're just not supposed to go there. And that's good. That's good. That's strength. To know where you're weak, that's a strength. That's a strength. Remember, we talked about this too. The enemy, no, he's been watching you. He's been watching humans for a couple thousand years. He knows, several thousand years. He knows what makes us tick. He knows each person's weaknesses. There is a spiritual battle. So we got to be aware of that as well. We talked about how we're responsible to carry our own load. While we're told to help each other with their burdens, we are also reminded you are responsible for your own load. So don't just expect others to carry your load for you. Carry your load. Carry your load. Do your best to not be a burden on the family of God. But we all will stumble and fall. We're all going to mess up. We're going to all need help sometimes. But it shouldn't be the norm. But when we mess up, we have a Savior who forgives and expects brothers and sisters to come alongside one another, just like the Holy Spirit does for us. He wants us with the Holy Spirit to come alongside one another, our brothers and sisters in Christ, who need some restoration. Again, gently, patiently. I admitted to you guys, that's not natural to me, so that's probably why I'm repeating it. You probably already got it, but I'm like, Jason, gently, patiently. We also discussed removing our planks from our eyes while helping our brothers and sisters with the specks in their eyes. The best way to do that is to remove the plank from your eye. You know, because otherwise you're knocking them around with the plank in your eye while you're trying to get the speck. And these are all opportunities to minister to each other when we share each other's burdens. So let's stand for today's verses, Galatians 6, 6 through 10, and we'll discuss more opportunities that God is giving us as we serve him. Opportunities abound. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is the word of God. Lord, I pray for guidance in these verses, even the uncomfortable ones. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to just guide us and work on each individual where we need work, Lord. We love you. We trust you. We thank you for this opportunity to be together. We just pray that you fill this place with your Holy Spirit and help us to go out stronger than when we came in, Lord, so we can be an ambassador of yours to this lost world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Like I said, last week's verses were about sharing each other's burdens. And this week, The first verse is on sharing with the teachers of the faith. And then the following verses will focus on sowing opportunities that God has provided us, sharing in each other's burdens and with our teachers. Remember, this whole thing is all part of the same thing. He's explaining about sharing each other's burdens, sharing with the good teachers, and then talking about sowing and taking advantage of the opportunity. It's not for just one of them. It's for all of it. And when we talk about that, he goes into all good things, which is your time, your talent, and your treasures, and how we should look at sharing biblically. And I think it's important to remind us that as we go deeper into these verses, that we are all investing in God's kingdom, the eternal investment, and we're doing it together. We're supposed to be one body, and we're going to get more into that, one body. When one part of Christ's body is hurting, we're supposed to help and nurture it. We talked about that last week. If you have one leg that's hurt, the other one takes the brunt of most of the work while that's healing up. That's how we should be as a body. We shouldn't look at it like, well, it shouldn't be not a big deal when the body's hurting. When Christ's body is hurting, it should be a big deal to all of us. All right, so let's get into verse 6 here. Share with good and faithful teachers of God's word. Let him who has taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. So I just want to acknowledge something. This was a very difficult, I stressed out over this verse because I'm uncomfortable teaching and talking about this. Just want to be honest with you. And a quick side note, because this is kind of funny, kind of a God sense of humor thing. One of the things that drew me to Calvary Chapel is that the teachers have to preach book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So they can't avoid unpopular verses. They can't hide from verses. So here I am wishing I could hide from this verse. And I found that, I found it very funny. But I can relate to what Martin Luther said. Here's what he said about these passages. These passages are all meant to benefit us ministers. I must say I do not find much pleasure in explaining these verses. I am made to appear as if I'm speaking for my own benefit. And I get what he's saying there. And I understand I'm just teaching. I'm not necessarily the pastor of the church or anything like that, but I am teaching. And so I get what he's saying, and at first glance, it really does look that way. But I think when he says made to appear, he understands that's not really what this verse is saying or these verses are saying. So as I studied and I prayed about it, I realized that these verses really are similar to bearing one another's burdens, loving our neighbor as ourselves, loving our enemies. And the verses are also acknowledging that we are all different parts of the same body of Christ. We all have different roles to play. You're this part of the body and you're this part of the body. It's you're part of the body and you have to be obedient to whatever part God made you or whatever calling he gave you. Amen? So there's certain parts of the same body. They do certain things, and if they do them well, to benefit the body, to the benefit of the rest of the body should nourish that part of the body as well in other parts. That's the whole idea of sharing each other's burdens. We're supposed to help one another. Remember, it's not the person walking in darkness. They are actually trying to serve the Lord, which means they are serving the body of Christ as well. And when they're hurting, we restore them. Why? So they can keep functioning again. And I would say that's the same thing here with the teachers, that if we're teaching, if you are hearing the word of God, they're rightly dividing the word of truth. They've been called to put in a lot of time and effort in life to feed the flock, to teach, while other people are out, maybe not needing to spend as much time in the word. They're out working and making money and investing in their time, talent, and treasure in other things. And then we all come together, just like the early church. They said they shared all things together. They met daily and they shared all things. Everybody has different things to offer. We are all uniquely and wonderfully made, and we all have different gifts, talents, and callings from the Lord. So when I realized all that, it made me feel a lot better about discussing it. Because we shouldn't be ashamed of the calling that God has given us. Whatever it is, wherever we are, we should serve the Lord with everything we've got, whatever he has put us in, whatever situation he's put us in. So last week, it was in the case of the brother or sister, lapse in judgment. We are supposed to gently restore them to the faith. This week, the verses are talking about teachers and those who are benefiting from their teaching. So obviously, we're talking about good teachers teaching the word of God. We're not talking about wolves in sheep's clothing. We're not talking about people who add or subtract the word of God. We're not talking about people who twist the word to benefit themselves. We're talking about people who are really sold out to the Lord and teaching the word of God. And the body's benefiting from it. I would say, Pastor Rick, we are very blessed to have Pastor Rick who feeds the flock. We miss you, Rick. Teachers, pastors, elders are held to a higher standard. They're actually called by God to a stricter judgment. James 3:1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. James says we, acknowledging he's in this boat. He's one of them. So who wants to sign up for stricter judgment before God on their own, with their own ideas, their own strengths? You know, I want to sign up for that. Nobody would. Nobody would. But when the call comes, you have to obey it. I think Spurgeon said, if you can do anything else, do it. But you can't help it. You can't help it. And it doesn't always mean you're behind a, you know, you're standing on this platform. That's what we call this, right? Platform. It doesn't always mean that. Sometimes, I remember in the military just being in a room full of airmen. And people are bringing up questions, and the Holy Spirit just wells up inside of me, and I'm preaching to a whole bunch of people. And it was ministering to some of the believers who I didn't even know were believers, and later. But you can't help it. It just happens. It doesn't always, it's not always the picture-perfect setting. It just happens. And you're not thinking, I got to hold back because I don't want that stricter judgment. It just overwhelms you. Overwhelms you. You got to do it. Teachers of the word need to be good stewards with the word, rightly dividing the word of truth. Only then would you be benefiting from their teaching. You might think you're benefiting from a false teacher, but you're not, because they're not teaching you the word of God. And there's a week, I could have gone in the list of what identifies a false teacher. I think here a lot of us know what a false teacher is. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that, any time on that, actually. So some may ask, why share with that teacher? Why share with them? So let's go back to the early church. God called apostles, prophets, elders, teachers, evangelists, deacons, etc. And their call sometimes kept them from doing what others could do in a normal life. So one example I think of is Paul, who it seemed like a big deal that Paul was continuing to make tents so he wasn't a burden to the church. But it didn't sound like the other apostles were doing that. But we wanted, the body of Christ wants more people in the kingdom of heaven, right? I mean, the Bible tells us that it's God's desire that all would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. So we should all want that. Well, if there's people who are able to just do that full time, we want to support that. So that's one example. Or back when God chose the Levites to serve with him. One of the tribes of Israel did not get a territorial inheritance in the promised land. And then all those other tribes were there to share with their burdens, to give them all these good things, to help them while they spent all their time ministering to the Lord. And if you remember, some of those Levites, they were held to a stricter judgment too. I think it was one of them that grabbed the ark when it was falling. Maybe they weren't a Levi, but I remember that one and reading it and going, man, that seems harsh. But he died, dropped dead, died. He's trying to help the ark from falling, but I mean, this is a big deal. This is serious. This is holiness, holiness with God. So these special callings, they also have a special and stricter requirement to God. But it's not a call to the majority, but the majority benefit from those. So when God called teachers to spend the majority of their time in the Word, studying, reading it, praying on it, meditating on it, like they can't get it, they just can't stop thinking about it all day. And they're ministering to the church body, they're visiting them when they need help, they're calling them, they're texting them, all of these different things. He knows they will need help in other areas. Maybe they're not getting their lawn mowed because they're busy visiting someone who's dying of cancer. We have no idea because it says all good things. And I think we make a mistake when we limit that to one thing. It's all good things. All is pas. Pas is all. All is all. All. If he wanted to say one thing, he would have said one thing. It's all things, all good things. And please remember, this is not this whole idea of calling people to be a teacher or a leader, a pastor, an elder, a deacon. This is not how the world does leadership positions. Remember that. The call to teach, minister, attend to, serve. Ministers, I believe we're all ministers because we're all to be serving one another and serving God. To be a bondservant is the ultimate call. Letting go of this world so we may feed and protect the sheep, the flock, his flock. Jesus said those who want to be the greatest in his kingdom will become slaves of the rest. Matthew 20, 27. But remember, they wanted to be the great ones. And he's like, okay, here's how to do it. You got to go down to go up. In God's kingdom, get low. Don't think highly of yourself. Humble, meek, mild. So when we have teachers that are rightly dividing the word of God and we benefit in the faith, we should share with those teachers our time, talent, and treasures, all things we should share. But God knows what you have to share. And there may be different seasons where you're giving your time, you're giving your talent, you're giving your treasure, you're giving a little more of this, you're giving a little less of that, whatever it is. God knows where you are and what you have. He knows what you're holding too tightly to, and he knows what you've let go of. I said last week, does God have your routing and account number? That doesn't mean it has to be given, but much like the rich young ruler, or I even thought of this with Abraham and Isaac. Abraham's about to sacrifice him. He let go of his love of Isaac enough for God to say, wait, don't do it. Don't do it. That's how we should be, ready and waiting for God to ask us to move, and then we move. So it's not about what you just gave, time, talent, treasure. It's also, are you listening for God to get a hold of you? Or are you holding on to some things and you're not hearing him when he's saying, hey, help that person, share that person's burden, bless that teacher? Are we open to that? This is very important too. When we give of all good things, or time, talent, treasure, we should be excited to give it and we should not be announcing it. It's supposed to be between you and God. And we're supposed to be cheerful when we give. Now, I believe that means serving him too. When we sign up to serve him and we're cheerful about it, we got to stir ourselves up to remember, man, I am glad I'm doing this. So I'm just going to be honest. There's some days I forget, you know, why I'm doing certain things that I'm doing. And God wants me to cheerfully do it, not out of obligation. Not out of obligation. If I'm obligated to do something, I'm not doing it in love. If I have to do it, I'm not doing it in love. I want to do it. Why do I want to do it? Because God gave his only begotten son for me. He sent his son to die on the cross for me. I can't outgive God. He gave me more than I ever could imagine. And I didn't deserve any of it. None of it. Okay, some verses I picked. I had a whole bunch. And I had to pick certain ones. These are the ones that lasted, that stuck. So 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. God is the supplier of the seed. We just have to go out and sow it. And later we'll talk about you can sow it to good things or to bad things. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. God will bless you when you trust him with all your resources. And I think this fits really well with, if you draw near to me, I will draw near to you, says the Lord. The more we trust the Lord, and like I said, a lot of it, it's a heart attitude. It's a heart attitude. God knows whether he's got all of you or only a certain amount, or maybe a percentage. Does he have all of you or not? Mark 12, 41-44, one of my favorite verses. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which makes a quadrens. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So Jesus was not looking at the amount. He was looking at the heart. And he knew what he saw was her heart. I trust God with everything. So those big amounts that were very impressive, that were it came out of a giant amount, and they're like, well, I'm going to take this, and this is going to really impress the people. And God's going, yeah, that's nothing compared to these two mites. Can't fool God. He knows. He knows. He knows what time, talent, and treasure you have. He knows if you have no time, but you give him 10 minutes, that other people are looking down on, God knows that's all they've got to give right now. He knows. But also he knows when you're holding back and you got a lot of time. You got a lot of time. Maybe you're putting in 2 hours, but you know, and the Holy Spirit in you knows, I could give a lot more. I'm actually being called to give a lot more. That's up to you and God. That's between you and God. I'm just trying to give you some examples. I try to avoid giving too many examples. I don't want to limit your thinking and the Holy Spirit working on you in those areas. But God knows if we give a lot of time, talent, treasure, and if it's out of our abundance or if it's we are just trusting him with all of us, with everything we have. He knows your circumstances. Others do not. Why should we trust God with everything we have? Because God gave his only begotten son, as I said, John 3:16. He's trustworthy, and he loves us more than anyone else does. That's what gets me when I disagree with God. Well, I don't really do it anymore. It's kind of broken me. But early on when I was reading my Bible, I'm like, I don't agree with that. And God's like, Jason, I love these people more than you do, so don't change what my word says about their lifestyle. Don't change my word about what this says. You stick to the word because I love them more than you do. That's a principle for me. Lord, has helped me. And when you realize that, when he says to share in each other's burdens and to share in all good things with our teachers and with the household of God, if I know that, then what am I holding back from? If he's more trustworthy than I am, if he's more trustworthy than my mind, then where am I going wrong trusting in my intellect and my excuses than trusting God? He's trustworthy. And in the end, it's all his anyway. And really, a lot of what we're talking about, it's stuff that's going to burn up at the end. So we can use those perishable things now to invest in the eternal, imperishable things in eternity. And why is God telling us to do that? Because he loves us more than anybody else does. He wants you to reap those benefits. At the Bema seat, he wants to see you get those rewards that are going to be there that pass through the fire. You don't want to be standing there and going, oh, golf outings, you know, potluck, you know, all these different things. It's like, man, I invested in a lot of things that really have no eternal value. Not necessarily bad things, but man, I do not, I know on my deathbed, I'm not going to go, I wish I would have played one more round of golf. I'm going to be like, I wish I would have visited those sick people. I wish I would have spent more time witnessing to people. I wish I would have said that thing to that gas station worker that scared me and the Lord told me to say something and I didn't. I wish that's what's going to happen. Those eternal things are what you're going to be. You're about to meet your maker. You're about to see God. You're not going to be thinking, man, I wish I really would have done that thing. If we are truly one body in the Lord and we're walking in the Lord, have the Holy Spirit helping us, convicting us, we can have confidence that God is working in our lives. We can have confidence in the body of Christ. When we're doing it, I think we're going to see more people and what they're doing for the Lord. I think when we're shirking our responsibility, the thing we're going to notice is the other people shirking their responsibility. You see what you want to see. If you don't want to see God working in your life, and he is working in your life, you won't see it. You'll just be negative. You'll just think, no. But if you're looking for it, you'll see it. It's all about what we look for. What are we looking for? What are we praying for? Keep your eyes open, your spiritual eyes open. I'd like to finish up this section with, the Pharisees gave God a lot of money and a lot of service keeping the law, didn't they? But it's obvious that God didn't have their heart. Because when Jesus came, when God came in the flesh, they did not recognize him. God wants our heart. He wants our heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He wants you investing in those eternal things, into his eternal kingdom. Okay, verses 7 and 8. So many seeds to the Spirit, and look forward to a full harvest. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we talked about giving to God already and how he gave his son. So we cannot outgive God. We're all in agreement on that, right? We cannot give back to God what he's done for us. And so Paul, earlier in the letter, first says, share in each other's burdens, and now he's saying to the teachers, all parts of his body and his church. Anyone who calls himself a believer, he includes that. So share in each other's burdens, give all good things to your teachers who benefit you, and especially to all those people who are in the household of God. And remember, we're called to be a bondservant. And if we are a bondservant, we basically are giving up our right to ourselves and all of our stuff, all of our good things in this life, to him. So again, don't get that tight grip on stuff, your time. I think a lot of times, time is probably one of the things we're most selfish with. Time, talent, treasure. Talent, the gifts God gave you. You know these guys, these sports guys who run really fast, jump really high, and when they do something good, they're all like, look at me. Well, God gave you that ability. God could have made you a paraplegic. You could have had no legs. Like, you didn't do this. You might have made better on it. You practiced. You did what you could to get better and stronger and faster, but all the glory goes to God. So Paul here is warning now of flesh, world, and enemy deception. It's like the enemy's own Ponzi scheme. Jump on board quick, You get false quick returns, but in the end, everything is ruined. That is this world. Everything in this world is going to burn up in the end. Only those investments into his eternal kingdom will remain. And God will not be mocked. God has given us all we have, and he expects us to be good stewards. And we talked about this before. If we really love the other people of the body of Christ in the church, we should be good stewards so we are prepared to help them when they need help. Remember, we're supposed to carry our own burden. So we're supposed to be trying to carry our own burden, but also being ready and willing to help the body. Whatever we sow to, we will reap from. Sow to the flesh, what does that mean? Walking according to this world, obeying the flesh and its evil desires, the terrors of this world that look good for a time, but at the end, the Lord will reveal how worthless it all was. Remember the guy at the Bema seat who all his stuff burns up. It says he gets in, but he suffered great loss. What did he lose? He lost all those opportunities that God prepared beforehand that he failed to take advantage of. He has warned us so many times in his word not to do that. We really have no excuse. And it's not supposed to be a burden because he loves us. He's trying to free us. Trying to free us from buying the 85 different things that you saw in commercials the last time you watched a program because you needed it to be happy. Sow to the Spirit. What does that mean? Walking according to the Spirit, investing time, talents, and treasure in anything that benefits his eternal kingdom, investing in what is good, holy, and just. But it should be done quietly because you may do things that really benefit the kingdom, but your heart and your mind and your eyes were on other people and you were trying to impress them. And God says you have your reward. If that's what your aim was, you got your reward. God wants you to do it for him, quietly. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Remember the Pharisees. This is what they did. They looked good. They sat in the good seats. It was all about, oh, look how holy they are. And look at how Jesus talked to them. He warned them. He's not mocked and he's not fooled. God sees right through it all. Okay, verse 9. As we see that finish line approaching, give it all you've got. Finish strong. And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. This should be encouraging to us. Our flesh doesn't like this stuff. Our flesh is threatened. Like, oh my gosh, I hope we don't start investing in the eternal things. Because I really like my stuff. I really like my time. I really like my me time. Me time. Where's me time with a bondservant? I understand me time with God, but just me time? Have you ever started out good in your walk during a day? Like, man, starting out good, everything's going good. And then it seems like something happens. Something changes. Certain days, certain seasons of life over a time period. My wife always says, things happen in threes. Things happen in threes. You know why I think they happen in threes? We're looking for it to happen in threes. We're counting them. We're waiting. How long did that second thing take? Well, 2 months. Well, who says what the time frame is on those three? She watches this. She's going to give me a dirty look. I know it. Yeah, three. But why do you think that is? Why do you think when you're starting out good and you're investing in good and holy and eternal things, why do you think something changes? I was thinking about this, and I thought, man, it's kind of the reverse before I was saved. I would go out. Now, I believe God knew, you know, God knows all things. He's not bound by time. So God knew one day that guy in the jail cell, pepper spray in his face, all this, was going to be standing here before you and talking to you. So he always knew I was his. He always knew. But when I was younger, and I've told some of you this, I was trying to do wrong things, and my friends would get away with doing wrong things, and I'd try to do it too, and I'd get caught. And I remember being like, life isn't fair. This is not fair. Why do I keep getting caught? But now I know someone was looking out for me and resisting me from getting away with it, and then I end up, you know, bearing the fruit of my being an idiot, right? I believe there's a spiritual battle, and when we are walking in the Spirit, you know who hates that? The enemy. And he's getting in the way too. And remember, we talked about this. God doesn't tempt us, but he does allow us to be tested. And he wants to see us pass those tests. So I think sometimes when we're getting weary and we're doing these things, and you get these mind ideas, you're like, why do I always have to be the one to do this? Why is it me? Why am I here? Why, you know? Oh, I'm in the kitchen with so-and-so. We never get along, right? I mean, there's these different things that we deal with, but the enemy's going, oh, yeah, keep going on that. Think it, go. You know what? Just get, like, withdraw. Get away from all of it. Stop serving it all together. Enemy. The enemy is always trying to get in our way. Screw us up. And I think he helps us have that lapse in judgment where we need some restoring, and we're this damaged, we're damaged goods, we weren't being true to who we are in Christ, and we need those brothers and sisters to kind of help us back up. And we're going, why did I do that? I really wish I wouldn't have said that thing. I really hate that. I really hate when I put myself in that situation. I'm like, if I could just back up 15 minutes prior to right now, I would not handle it the way I just handled it. And God's going, just trust me. I will never put you in that position. Sometimes I know better. No, I don't know better. I was hoping you guys would be like, what are you talking about? You guys all just took it in. No. I just got to trust God all the time. So, like I said, it must be the enemy. The enemy is getting in our way when we're trying to walk with the Lord, when we're doing these good things, when we're coming up with these good ideas that we can think are our own. It's the Holy Spirit working in us. What's good, holy, and just. There's nothing good in us. We really just got to get out of the way. That's why we have to crucify the desires of the flesh and let God work. That's where we'll be the most fruitful for his kingdom. But I think it's important to know, if we know that there's a spiritual battle, when those attacks happen, we can identify them. We can look for those things that we've allowed in our lives and get them out of there so the enemy can't keep bothering us, putting obstacles in our way as we're trying to walk in the Spirit. We're trying to continue on, even when we're weary. Says when we're weary. Sometimes I think we get weary because we've allowed too many things of the world into our life. So now we're weary. But God's saying, just trust me. Just trust me. Get all that stuff out of the way. Trust me. If you keep going, person, Christian, saint, if you keep going, there's going to be a reward at the end of all this. Keep sowing in the Spirit. Keep sowing good things. I believe every born-again believer will finish the race. The ultimate proof, I believe, that you're saved is you finish the race. Because if you say someone's saved and they end up in hell, what were they saved from? I never understood that. Well, they were saved. Well, where'd they end up? Well, hell. So they were saved? Doesn't make any sense to me. So I believe every born-again believer will finish the race. That's how you know you're a true believer. You don't turn back. You don't turn your back on God. You don't put your hand to the plow and turn back. Lot's wife is a good example of why you don't turn back. But there may be some stumbling, sliding back, slipping on the rungs of that ladder of progression to Christian maturity in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7, where it builds on. If we can keep our eyes on Jesus, his eternal kingdom, we will be reminded of how worthless this world stuff is. When you're looking to Jesus, there's nothing in this world that is really enticing because you're so consumed with the Lord. Man, when I first became a believer, I mean, I remember just doing dishes and being like, I am going to heaven. This is all real. I'm actually going to heaven. I didn't mind that I was doing dishes. I didn't mind that I, you know, had a hard time paying car payments. You know, I didn't mind any of that stuff because I'm going to heaven. Jesus died for me. What a great day. Every day was a great day because Jesus died for me and I'm going to heaven. I was on my way to hell and now I'm going to heaven. And it was all because of what he did, not because of what I did. But I think the enemy is like a slick used car salesman. He's trying to sell you this car that looks real pretty, right? But you know what that car's been through because you've got your Carfax report. So you know that it's got a blown engine. It was in a flood. It's been in a wreck four times. But here he is trying to sell you this car. And this car, I mean, this is a fancy car. I mean, it has a lot of bells and whistles that these other cars don't have. These other cars on the lot that are in your price range that are reliable, but they're not flashy. You know, they'll last a long time. That's not what your flesh doesn't want that. Your flesh wants that flashy thing. But you know what it is. So as the enemy is trying to get you to buy into these useless, perishable things, the world, we should know because we have our Carfax report, the Bible. The Bible tells us that the enemy is trying to get us to invest in these corrupt, perishable things at the expense of our eternal investments. And I spent a lot of time here because I want us to remember why we're talking about these verses. It's the body of Christ that we're supposed to share in each other's burdens. We're supposed to share in all good things with each other. Don't be selfish with your stuff for things that are going to burn away. Even when we're weary, we know that if we continue to sow in his kingdom, we will reap a great eternal reward. Okay, verse 10, don't miss out on this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now, how many times have we heard that, right? I mean, you get these commercials, you got the 1-800 number, you know, can't miss out. But we do have a real great opportunity that God has given us. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. All is pas. Pas is all. All is all. Especially to those who are of the household of faith, especially to the body of Christ, to the bride of Christ. So this is where the title comes from, but it applies throughout all these verses. This life is a wonderful opportunity to invest in his kingdom. God prepared good works beforehand for us to do. So he's creating the whole universe. He's doing all this amazing stuff. He knows every animal that ever existed, and yet he still thought of you, me, to prepare good works for us to do beforehand, to benefit his body, to benefit lost people. They're part of all, especially the body, but even the lost people. Even the enemies of God, which we all once were, he prepared those beforehand. He loved us so much. He loves all of them so much. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. He wants us to walk in them. Just think of how God had that discussion with Lucifer, Satan, with Job. Have you considered my, don't you want to be that to God? Have you considered your name? Or is he like, well, let's not talk about them right now. let's not talk about them right now. God's got all this covered. He's called us. He's given us gifts. He's uniquely and wonderfully made you. He did this knowing the end from the beginning, and it all fits together so perfectly. But he's sitting there telling you, trust me. Do the good things you know to do. Don't hold back. No regrets. Have no regrets. Don't turn back. Don't get weary. Trust me. If we serve him through the Spirit, I believe we will always have the energy to do it. When we do it selfishly, I think that's when we start getting worn out. Because we're thinking we're doing it on our own accord. And we're getting all the fanfare, like, oh, you did that so good, you did that so good, and you start eating it up, and then you start wearing down. But when you do it for the Lord, the more you serve the Lord, the more you're like, Lord, give me something else. Give me some more. Give me some more. Let me break some barriers, some world barriers here. Paul says, as we have an opportunity, let us do good to all. Can we miss opportunities? Can we miss out on opportunities? Do we miss out on opportunities? How do we feel when we miss out on opportunities? I still have one in my mind. I was driving down a street here. The house had a fire, and the Holy Spirit talked to my heart and said, go ask them if you can help. And I didn't. And it still bothers me. But being selfish and not seeing the opportunities before us, I was being selfish in that moment. I was like, I don't want to do that. I haven't seen my family. I don't even know what my dumb excuse was, but I didn't do it. Or maybe we're rejecting God's call in our lives. Or we're using his gifts for sowing to the flesh. You know, when you get talents, you can use your talents to benefit you in this world instead of benefit him and his eternal kingdom and the body of Christ. But in the end, you're going to regret it. You're going to regret everything you invested heavily into this world that's burning up. One brother I had a long time ago, he said, it's almost like you go to Florida or you go to a hotel and you spend all this time like bringing it up to snuff and doing all this stuff. You spend all this time and energy and money to really bring it up to, and then after the week's over, you go home. It's all there for someone else. I mean, if anyone did that, we'd be like, well, that was dumb. But I don't think it's any different than when we invest heavily in this world and we cling tightly to this world. Okay, so some final thoughts. We all have different seasons in life. And Paul discusses this in Philippians 4:12. He says he knows how to abound, and he also knows how to be abased. He knows when there's slim pickings, and he knows how, man, there's so much going on and good things. And we all have the same thing. And God knows your circumstances. God, don't feel guilty when you are limited in certain areas of your time, talent, and treasures. Just make sure you're honest with yourself and you're honest with God. He'll take care of that. Remember, he's not looking at the amount. He's looking at the heart, the two mites. If all you got is two mites, he loves those two mites. Don't worry about it and don't try to impress other people. Just serve God. Let him have all of you. God knows your circumstances. He loves you and he provides for you and he wants you to trust him. And if you're a good steward, he may have you with those two mites because that's what he knows you need to be. And the person who maybe has way more than two mites and is proud about it, God provided that to them too. It'd be just like the superstar athlete being like, look at me. Look at what I did. Well, God gave you the ability to be able to do those things. And he's not impressed. He wants your heart. Remember, following Jesus should not be a heavy burden or a hard yoke. But as the Spirit leads us, as we walk in the Spirit, in step with the Lord, it's a light burden and an easy yoke because Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is doing all the work. We just got to be with him. We don't want the Holy Spirit going this way, and we're like, I just want to go here. Because if that's happening, your flesh is struggling against the Spirit. That may be a burden, but that's a good burden, because your flesh is having a hard time being obedient to the Lord. You need to get that out of the way. You got to figure that out. The flesh will always try to get in his way and fight him. The Lord will not let us go. If we are born again, he will not let us go. He disciplines those that he loves. Conviction, discipline, these are loving things. The creator of the universe is taking this moment to convict me of this little tiny thing. Oh, Lord, you love me that much? That much. I remember kids growing up and my parents were on top of me on stuff, and I hated it. But then I saw kids who their parents could care less what they were doing ever. I thought that was a pretty cool deal, but you could tell they didn't like it. They were like, my parents don't care. They don't care if I live or die. They don't care what I'm doing. Well, God's not like that. God loves you. He's rooting for you. He's equipped us with his word. He's told you everything that you need to know to live for his kingdom. And please don't limit this teaching to money, because I think a lot of times that's what we can do. We can limit it to money, talking about money. I had a friend, I had witnessed him for over a year, and he finally went to church on a January morning, and he went to this church, and you know what they talked about the whole time? Tithing. Here he is looking for the Lord, and all he heard about was tithing. And you know what he thought? They just want my money. God wants your heart. God wants your heart. Remember, the Pharisees tithed. They did all that stuff, and their heart was far from the Lord. God wants all of us. He wants to be our Lord and Master. And once he has that, we will be right where he wants us to be, taking advantage of those opportunities that he prepared beforehand for us to do. So he wants us to share in each other's burdens. Share in all good things with good teachers that benefit us. Sow to the Spirit and reap everlasting life. Don't grow weary while doing good. Keep going in the power of the Holy Spirit. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Do not turn back. Do not shirk back your responsibilities. Keep going. Keep going in the faith. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. And all means all, especially those who are of the household of faith, the body of Christ, the bride that's preparing herself, because Jesus is coming soon. So don't miss out on this great opportunity to live for the Lord and invest in his eternal kingdom now, today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you love us so much that you will not let us go the wrong direction. You will keep on pressing on us. You will keep on guiding us and putting obstacles in our way to get us on the straight path, Lord. We just thank you for this opportunity to worship collectively as a church family. Lord, I lift up the church all around the world, that, Lord, they are rightly dividing the word of truth, that they are loving you, and we don't put any burdens in people's way that are not in the word. We don't add or subtract. Lord, I pray for the underground churches in many of those countries, Lord. I pray that they are bold for you, but, Lord, I pray for their protection. And I pray that our freedom, Lord, we don't forget how to live for you with the zeal that that underground church has in other countries, Lord. I pray that we learn to stir up that same zeal while we have the freedoms we do, so we can go out and bring more people into your kingdom, because we know your desire is that all would come to the knowledge of the truth and be saved. In Jesus' name, amen.